السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue the surah, the implementation of the surah, Surah Al-Takathur in the land of reality. The takathur is the non-stop business of increase. It is motivated by and inspired by the temptation of selfishness and greed, non-stop greed, hunger to more and more and more. Give me more, more entertainment, more property, more money, and more, and non-stop more. That is At-Takathur. And we went through the surah. One ayah left in this surah, which is usually indicates the surah itself. After, when describing the disease, it describes the solution in the same surah. So one solution was described in the surah, that the graves, reminding us to al-maqabir. The second solution is the ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You will be questioned in the day of judgment about luxuries and about the rich, comfortable, fulfilling life. Why? Because when Allah gives us more money, we tend to use this money to have extra entertainment, extra luxury, and extra fun, and extra and extra and extra things like that. But that wasn't the intention of Allah. When Allah gave us money, Allah intended that we balance the use of this money, like a diversified portfolio. For those of you who do stock market, you diversify your investments. Some here, some there. That's the intention of Allah. So when you use that into one sector only, which is the sector of rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, you're not being fair. And that's not wallah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended by giving you more money. So the actual truth, the actual thing that happens when Allah gives you more money is that with the more money, Allah gives you more responsibilities. And this is what Allah does. When He gives you one blessing with one hand, He gives you the responsibility of taking the blessing on the other hand. They come together. And this is why sometimes Allah holds the favors from people to protect them. Where the Prophet said, some of my slaves are not going to be righteous unless they are poor. If Allah will give them money, they will corrupt. So Allah is holding the money intentionally so that, because He knows that they will not be able to thank Him for the money. And we have the hadith of Thu'aylaba when he was loving the money, and then he nagged on the Prophet to pray for him. The Prophet didn't want, he kept nagging until the Prophet prayed for him to be rich. When he became rich, he slowly stopped coming to the masjid, he slowly stopped participating into good deeds, and then at the end, when the Prophet sent him the zakah collector, he refused to give the zakah. And he called the Prophet Muhammad bad name. And he called zakah bad name. And then he was lost. And Allah revealed one ayah in Surah Al-Tawbah just for what he did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, or Allah intends that, you get more money, you do more good deeds. Not just more entertainment. More entertainment, more luxury is okay. As long as you balance. So more luxury, more entertainment, bigger house, better car, better, more responsibilities of doing good deeds, they go together. One diversified portfolio, which is what Allah wants. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Amr ibn al-As, نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحُ لِلْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحُ. What a blessing, the righteous wealth given to a righteous slave. To enjoy and at the same time to employ. Enjoy and employ. Employ, enjoy for yourself and employ for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are something called the golden rules of rights. The golden rule of rights. The golden rule of rights comes from a beautiful hadith that happened, and the story that describes a story that took place between Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda. They were brothers in Allah, not by blood. Salman is from Persia, Abu Darda is from Arabia. Then the Prophet made them spiritual brothers when he immigrated to Medina. He picked every two, one from local people, one from the immigrants people, and he made them brothers. So they were brothers. So he went after, Salman. He went to visit Abu Darda, his brother, and he found that his wife, he didn't find him, but he found his wife. And when he looked at his wife, she was not taking care of herself. You know, lousy dress, lousy cleaning, lousy everything. So he said, why do you do this to yourself? What happened? She said, oh, your brother Abu Darda, he has no interest in me at all. He is completely neglecting me. And he is either fasting or praying. All day he's fasting, all night he's praying. And he's completely neglecting me. So why should I clean myself? You know, it's a waste of effort. He's not interested. He said, no, that's not right. Then he came to visit his brother, Abu Darda, later. And he said, I'm staying with you for a few days. And then what he did, in the morning, when Abu Darda offered Salman the breakfast, he said, eat with me. He said, I'm fasting. He said, you will have to eat. He said, I'm fasting. He said, no, you have to eat. And he nagged on him until he fed him. Okay, so Abu Darda said, fine. And he ate. And then at night, Abu Darda, as soon as Isha was done, he started night prayer. So he pulled him. He said, you will have to sleep. He said, oh, I want to pray. He said, no, you will have to sleep. No, pray, I will have to sleep. And he nagged on him until he put him to sleep. Then in the morning, later in the second third of the night, Abu Darda tried to get up to sleep again. Salman went up and he said, you will have to sleep. He said, no, I almost have to sleep. And he forced him or nagged on him until he slept. Then in the third one third of the night, he got up to pray. He said, yes, you can pray now. And he prayed with him in the last one third. So then that happened first, I'm sorry, and then fasting happened next. I reversed the order. So then when he forced him to break his fast, he said, Wallahi, I'm going to complain to Prophet Muhammad. You're obstructing me from righteousness. I'll complain to Prophet Muhammad. So he went to Prophet Muhammad. Before he went to Prophet Muhammad, they got into an argument. So Salman told Abu Darda, this golden rule of dividing your attention, your resources to different rights. So he told him, Allah has rights on you. Yourself has rights on yourself. Your family has rights on you. You have to give every one of them their due rights. Common sense. If you go excessive in one part, then you will fail in the other parts. Like you have three subjects, chemistry, physics, and English. You love physics. You overstudy physics. You get A+ in physics, you get F in chemistry, and F in English. Then the total grade is F. So you have limited resources. You have to balance them and distribute them. When sometimes people for a short period of time, they are stuck, let's say a doctor who's doing residence, he has to work 16 hours a day. He has no way out. Then what should this one do? There are tricks to handle this situation. One trick is to say, okay, I am working 7 days a week and nobody's giving me a break. I'll take 3 days and whatever income comes, it's for Allah. Then those 3 days change from a righteous deed for the sake of earning money into a righteous deed for the sake of giving money, because we have multiple righteous deeds. The best righteous deed is the righteous deed where you lose money, or you give up material resources, you give it up, and you get nothing back, such as zakat. You give money, you don't get any money back. I mean, apparently you don't collect any money right back. The second one is that where you don't pay any money, which is prayer, salah. You're not paying, you're not getting. And then the third one is the one where you collect money. When you work halal business, you collect halal money. All of them are acts of righteousness and acts of worship. Okay? But if you focus on one and drop the others, you're guilty. So you balance between these two. So that doctor is unable to balance. Then he goes out of the trick by saying, okay, 3 days of my work is income for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and Ibn Abbas narrated this hadith, he said, take advantage of five before five come to you. Take advantage of those five. What are those five? He said, your life before you die. That's an opportunity right now. Don't waste the time. You are nothing but a piece of ice. Every day, one part of your physical existence is melting. You are nothing but 5,000 days, for example. Every day, one piece of your physical existence is lost. So if you take that piece and throw it out of the window, like what happens usually, then you are not being fair to yourself. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two kinds of blessings when people are not being fair to themselves and taking advantage of, which is free time, health, which is that you waste those and that's not fair for you. So the first one is life before death. The second one is your health before you're sick. Right now, you're healthy. You will be sick, so watch out. Take advantage of this now before you get sick. Number three, your youth before you're old, before you become, right now you're young, you're able to do a lot of things. Later, you will be like your grandfather right now, barely able to move. And then you're being rich before you become poor. Right now you have money. Use it before you become poor, and then you will have no money to spend for the sake of Allah. And the last thing is your free time before you become busy. Right now you have free time. Take advantage of it. Don't just use it for resting. Resting and other things. And otherwise, when you become busy, then you are not going to lose the credit. One last point to keep in mind about this hadith. If you fail an easy test, Allah will not give you credit for a hard test. But if you pass an easy test, then Allah gives you credit for hard test. I'll give you an example. If you are healthy, okay, and have free time, luxury days such as Saturday and Sunday, and you miss the Fajr prayer in the masjid, then when you miss the Fajr prayer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because you have to go to work before Fajr, you get no credit. Why? Because when you didn't have to, you didn't pray Fajr. It doesn't make sense that you get credit for the days, other days, okay? You already failed the easy test, which is Monday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then why should you get credit for the rest of the weekdays? But if you prove your interest by praying Fajr on time in the masjid, Saturday and Sunday, then you have a good chance that Allah will say, and Allah is very generous, Allah says that, okay, what prevented you from doing Fajr on time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is your business. You have to be at work before Fajr. Therefore, I will give you credit for those. Why? Because when you were free, you took advantage of it. So, when you are alive, okay, and you're doing the deeds, that's the easy test. So when you die, you can't do that, Allah will still give you the credit. And that's why people go to Jannah forever. Because if Allah will give them eternal life, they will eternally worship Him. Because of this intention and because of the rule I just said, Allah will put them in Jannah eternally. And so forth. When you are healthy, you're doing good deeds. So when you're sick, you can't do it. So you pass the easy test when you're healthy. Then Allah gives you credit for the hard test when you're sick. And so forth. If you're young, that's an easy test. To prove yourself, then when you're old, Allah will give you credit for what you have done when you're young. When you're rich, you prove yourself paying charity. So you pass the easy test. Then Allah will give you credit when you're poor and you can't give the charity. And last, when you're free, you pass the test, then Allah will give you the credit when you're busy too. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.